Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Doug Norton, VP of Business Development for Inspire Semiconductor, an Austin-based high-performance computing chip design company. He's also the president of the Society of HPC Professionals, a vendor-neutral nonprofit organization educating and connecting the high-performance computing user community. Welcome to the podcast, Doug.
Thank you, Dan.
So first, let's start out. How did you get into semiconductors, and what brought you to Inspire?
Absolutely. I started my career, well, back up a little bit on that even. I went to school get my degree in electrical engineering, because I always loved building things, wanted to know how things worked, all that kind of thing, and ended up going down the electrical engineering path because, frankly, it was the thing I knew the least about. I was a little worried at first till we went to our intro to EE class by the department head, who asked everybody to raise their hand and said, who here knows electronics and tinkers with them and things like that? And a bunch of hands went up, and I went, uh-oh. And then he said, well, you're the people we need to worry about, because we have to unlearn everything you think you know. Everybody else will be fine. So that was kind of fun, and ended up getting my degree, had a number of job offers out of school to go do product development, took IBM as my starting point because I love the whole merit pay approach. And I worked on a team doing initially a number of circuit board designs, including early model PS2 model things, and then ended up even doing an ASIC at one point. And then IBM redeployed me out to the field. They wanted to get some of the key lab people out to evangelize IBM technologies to the customer base. So I did that. And that's when I learned several years later that it really wasn't products I wanted to build, it was companies. That's what I enjoyed doing, and working with key partners and customers to deliver products that meet the mark.
That's a great story. So can you tell us a little bit about Inspire Semi and what makes that company unique?
Sure. One major difference, I would say, is our focus on low power and high performance. It's in our DNA. I have previously partnered with other companies in my career, many of the big name ones that we all know in the GPU and FPGA space, who offer really interesting compute accelerators that are very high performance, but often with very high power, or very difficult to program in the case of FPGAs. We've been trying to do seed gates flows for the last 30 years, and although you can sort of do it, you don't get an optimal result with an FPGA. But that said, we're all about performance per watt. Our founder and CTO and some of our key engineering team have previously done even crypto mining designs where energy efficiency is paramount. So between that kind of focus and DNA and the fact that we have a clean sheet design with no extra baggage that's easy to program, I think it's a pretty unique value prop. We don't waste any transistors on graphics or legacy 1970 instructions to boot DOS or things like that. So that's going to enable us to deliver what many have noted the HPC industry has really wanted for the last 10 to 20 years. And to do this as a startup, people have been amazed the relatively small number of team members we have versus what some of the big companies have done. And that's in large part to a very experienced leadership and engineering team that has taken a special forces design approach versus assembling a massive infantry that so many people do, especially people who've worked for the big names in the industry where they just assume you need 10 people to do this, 20 people to do that, whatever, I think. This also allows us to bring this product to market at a much lower cost. So we're pretty excited about this. And the leadership team, by the way, also has both public and startup company experience. That was one of our key things in hiring. So we know what it takes to build and scale companies, and we're all hands-on as well.
Well, that is unique. So what problems in the accelerated computing industry are you working on?
So we're all about broad applicability across all HPC codes versus a relatively small subset that may benefit from GPUs, FPGAs, or one-off, what I would call bespoke AI accelerators that we're seeing in some cases. And while doing this, eliminating vendor lock-in and the multiple rewrites of code, since an enterprise's largest investment is their software. we all know, you know, every few years you buy new hardware, the big national labs have their big bids, et cetera, but it's all about their software stack that runs on that. As frankly, the DOE has found out recently when AMD won Coral 2 versus NVIDIA on the GPUs, and those AMD GPUs don't work with CUDA. So our approach gives the ability to quickly determine the benefit versus a recompile, versus a long porting and QA effort to a proprietary software stack. And we also support the one API model to be able to run large, you know, exascale type codes on day one.
Yeah, understood. So what are the products you have to offer?
Yes, our initial product is going to be what we had codenamed the Thunderbird Compute Accelerator, shipping mid next year. This chip that's on there has 2,560 CPU cores on it. Honest to goodness, 64-bit CPU cores, not shader engines. And we'll have initially two of those on a PCIe card. So you'll end up getting over 5,000 high-performance 64-bit CPU cores connected by our high-speed mesh network fabric. So this is as many independent CPU cores as a GPU has shader engines. And unlike the direction GPUs are going to lower precision AI, we're supporting the full 64-bit floating point with vector. So there, these, by the way, are high-performance 64-bit superscalar RISC-V processors, but of our own design. We did not license these from anybody. And that also helps us with the clean sheet approach to do what we wanted to do, which did include extending the instruction set a little bit to do some specific things around AI and crypto. And the other thing that a lot of our early customers are loving about this is the design supports the ability to connect up to 256 of our chips. So this can solve some very large memory problems. And in fact, some of our OEMs are looking to put more than two chips in their server designs.
Wow, that's incredible. So what markets and applications areas are you initially targeting with this chip?
Yes, our initial focus is right on HPC, especially the important codes that often drive little benefit from GPUs and require 64-bit floating point accuracy. So these include broad areas like CAE, computer aid and engineering, computational fluid dynamics in particular, EDA, electronic design automation, which I'm sure many of our users use those tools, things like weather, study of the universe, genomics, drug discovery, financial modeling, and trading. Just a number of codes where they often don't benefit from GPUs, or some of these engines don't support Fortran, which I was kind of surprised. Even a lot of the Wall Street codes still use a lot of Fortran, as well as many of our government codes. So we will definitely be able to support that. Notably, simulations really come to mind, nuclear, seismic, virtual wind tunnel, fluid flow, vehicle crashes, all those kind of things. And we've talked to some of the leaders, ISVs in this space, and they're pretty excited about what we're bringing to market here. What we are not focused on initially are the pure AIML type apps, since to me, that is a very red ocean, and it's kind of whale hunting to try to land a big hyperscaler, which is also interesting because most of the big hyperscalers have their own AI chips. So we do not compete with them. We are their friends. So our interest is really the broad move by HPC users to AI augmented HPC, because we're seeing all these users want to do it. I've heard this called various terms, such as computational steering, cognitive simulation, et cetera. But I think the industry is kind of settling on the term AI augmented HPC, and that's a good thing to be, and we'll let our HPC users kind of pull us into that space.
Yeah, that's a growing market for sure. But what else is driving the company's global growth, would you say?
Well, the primary one is definitely the customer excitement for our approach. One analyst, in fact, recently told me when I briefed him on this, you know what you've created here. It's what users have wanted for the last 10 to 20 years. And I looked him in the eye and said, yeah, I know. That's exactly right. And this also aligns really well with some of the big computer OEMs out there, some of whom like to throw around the term they want to democratize HPC and AI. So when you think about what we're doing, being able to bring high performance, you know, power per watt, as well as much lower cost than current high-end GPU offerings or FPGA offerings, and an easy to program model, it's really all about that democratize HPC and AI and make it much more broadly available. And this has enabled us, in fact, to hire some really top talent that turned down higher paying jobs from some of the big hyperscalers or Facebook or those type of people to be part of our team that helps deliver this vision.
Oh, interesting. So how do customers engage with Inspire Semiconductor normally?
So we have done a number of briefings for a number of the biggest guys out there. Initially, when I came on board, of course, having 35 years experience in HPC and AI, I approached many of the large people I knew doing customer outreach, and you know, they really wanted to learn more. So I offered them initially a non-NDA briefing. Most said, no, this is too exciting. Let's get the NDA in place. And we did a lot of deep dives with all the big national labs and some of the big supercomputer centers and computer OEMs. And we continue to do those various meetings and happy to do them under those briefings. Going to market, we've got a number of people already committed to bring the Thunderbird product to market as a PCIe card again initially. These include Lenovo, 2CRSI, the big distributor Worldwide Technologies, and Penguin Computing, for example. We're in deep discussions with many others. So this is going to be available just like you would do really a GPU or an FPGA, where they're often bought from the OEM when they buy a new server. But we also are, of course, supporting them in briefings and other engagements. And as many customers have looked at what we've done, we've had some very interesting discussions with perhaps certain government entities, for example, who've said, wow, we really want to do this. Could you do a design that would do this or that? Clearly with, you know, 2,500 cores on a chip, we could scale that down to less to do certain things that might be a specific sparse operation, for example, that might want less cores and more memory, more cache memory. And clearly, when we move to lower process nodes, we'll be able to scale up the core count as well.
Yeah, got it. So they can reach you at inspiresemi.com, right?
That is correct. And our contact all info is all on the website. And some of what I shared is there, and some of it is intentionally not there. Again, there's some stuff that's still a little bit of secret sauce that they might want to get a deep dive briefing with us.
Doug, great content. Hopefully we'll talk to you again, get another update next year, and it's a pleasure meeting you, and happy holidays.
Thank you. You as well. Really appreciate the opportunity.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.